This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, conservative icon, and the author of more than 20 books, including The Supremacists, The Flip Side of Feminism, Turbo Reader, and the revealing new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
I've told you in previous broadcasts about some of the zero-tolerance nonsense that has caused punishment for mostly boys in elementary school for actions that should not have been punished. But now one school has carried this zero-tolerance so far that it isn't even safe to talk about guns. The father of a middle schooler in Calvary County, Maryland, says his 11-year-old son was suspended for 10 days for merely talking about guns on the bus ride home after school. This sixth grader at Northern Middle School was talking with friends about the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre when the bus driver hauled him back to school to be questioned by the principal. The father said in an interview that the principal told him that with what happened at Sandy Hook, if you say the word gun in my school, you are going to get suspended for 10 days. So what did the boy say? According to the father, the boy neither threatened nor bullied anyone. He said, "I wish I had a gun to protect everyone." He wanted to defeat the bad guys. The boy was questioned by the principal and a sheriff's deputy, who also wanted to search the family's home without a warrant. He started asking the father if he had firearms. The principal did not respond to calls or emails seeking comment. The boy's suspension was later reduced to 1 day. Another incident in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, is zero tolerance that leaves you not knowing whether to laugh or cry. A 7-year-old boy was suspended for 2 days for biting a pastry into the shape of a gun. His family had to hire an attorney to expunge the suspension from the boy's school record. In this case, the NRA got into the act by presenting the kid with a lifetime membership in the National Rifle Association.
Surveys show liberal professors outnumber conservative professors on college campuses by 10 to 1. At the Eagle Forum Collegian Summit in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19, outstanding conservative leaders will equip students with moral and intellectual defenses to challenge left-wing ideology. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hello, friends. It is Monday, October 28th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN, whose website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see the names of every single guest that I've ever had on the program for the last 3 years, as well as links to their website. Just visit the website, my website, and click on the radio schedule button. You will also see the upcoming guests. Please also visit SpingolaSpeaks.info, a site that one of our wonderful, very talented listeners created. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Have you ever had the demoralizing experience of being labeled a troublemaker as soon as you question the moderator of a discussion or raise an objection to a school policy, textbook, course of study, teaching method, or community proposal? Unfortunately, being seen as uncooperative is not socially acceptable these days, be it the workplace, a community forum, airport security, or the PTA. Team spirit is valued above all else. Nobody is supposed to cry foul. And this is from the introduction of one of the books of our listener, of our guest today, who happens to be Beverly K. Ekman. That's E-A-K-M-A-N. She is the author of 6 books, Educating for the New World Order, The Cloning of the American Mind, A Common Sense Platform for the 21st Century, How to Counter Group Manipulation Tactics, and Walking Targets, How Our Psychologized Classrooms Are Producing a Nation of Sitting Ducks. Her websites are BeverlyEkman.com and MidnightWhistler.com. Beverly, welcome to the program.
It's my pleasure to be here again.
Well, thank you so much. I just love your book, the one that I just quoted from the introduction, How to Counter Group Manipulation Tactics. And even on the front, there's a group sitting around the table, and the facilitator says, even a child could see, which is very demeaning and obviously is meant to manipulate the group sitting around the table.
Right. It's a method, one of those red flag opening lines that are used a lot of times that I use when we start going into actual scenarios that have happened to people. And it's meant to intimidate. It's meant to put people on the defensive, because as soon as you put people on the defensive, then you have are halfway to winning your argument already.
Exactly. And this is used in so many scenarios, in public schools, at PTA meetings, just about anywhere where there is a group of people or where a group wants to, where a facilitator wants to initiate some sort of policy that is really against the community, the people that are sitting, listening to the person.
Well, yes, this is not just in a school, obviously. It can be, and as a fact, this is how I got the idea. It was in meetings, task forces, focus groups, any of these kinds of situations, even a big church meeting that has anything to do with a policy change of some kind. As unethical facilitators, and they are considered by most people just to be moderators of the discussion, which is the problem. People are looking at them as moderators. They don't realize they're actually hired hands from one of these institutes that put out the and train these sorts of people. And they're also called change agents, provocateurs, agitators. And then when you get down the list a little further, it's harder hitting types of people, but they start out as facilitators, community organizers, technical assistants, and in-person assisters. That's the most recent one I've heard. And that one will be in a new book called Push Back. I've been asked by a New York house to vastly expand this whole thing into a four-part course. And so I've done that, and it'll be out in January. But this has, there's been so many people who have called me or emailed me, and obviously New York has gotten wind of that, saying that, you know, they were had, and they didn't even realize when they walked into the meeting that they wound up voting for something they went there to vote against, or the opposite. And they were pushed around and demeaned, ridiculed, ostracized, alienated, and so forth until they caved, or just simply did not know how to shut down the process and turn it to their advantage. So that's basically what I, one of the things I teach nowadays.
Right. And of course, the facilitator wants to get everybody to vote or to approve of certain things,
right,
without any dissent. And so they have been trained. Was it through the RAND group that they received a lot of this training?
No, that was, way back when, yes. They initiated the Delphi technique for their managers, and for managers of a meeting to make it move along, in other words, so that it didn't stall and get off into tangents. And then it went a little further with it than that, and were asked by the department, well, it wasn't called the Department of Education then, it was still the Office of Education under Health, Education, and Welfare, and this was way back in 74. And they wrote a series of booklets that were called Change Agent Guides. And they, it was a volume 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the federal government under their contract to see how long it would take to put change agents into the school systems. And that's when I first got wind of RAND. But it has gone viral, as the everybody would say nowadays, to where Esalen Institute, the National Training Lab, which is run by the National Education Association, they're in Bethel, Maine. And there are several different organizations that find likely candidates, leftist candidates, for training. They tap them, and they recruit. And based on the kinds of comments and so forth that they make in college. I mean, there are people even in college dormitories called resident assistants who report conversations to people, officials in the college, and based on some of that, it's passed on. And these people that sound like they're going to be good little leftists or good little socialists get tapped for these courses, and yes, they are highly trained.
Wow. Now, you mentioned earlier the term community organizer, and we know that
yeah.
Obama That was his first job out of college.
Yeah, he cut his teeth on socialism early on in the game, thanks to Bill Ayers and other leftist icons of the 60s, 70s, the 70s, maybe in 80s era. And he did that in Chicago. And so it was no surprise that he has launched things like Common Core of Standards, which, you know, should be called Common Core of Political Correctness or Common Core of Attitudes, because this is the standards thing is a political football and has been for, well, since Jimmy Carter gave the teachers union the thank you gift of a cabinet level education agency in 1976.
Right.
So
we do have to cut to a quick 3-minute break. I'm sorry to interrupt. This is very interesting, but we do have a break. We will be back in 3 minutes.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get 1 free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy 3. This is a massive savings of $600 on a 4-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, veteran-owned and operated.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our guest today is Beverly K. Ekman. That's E-A-K-M-A-N. She is the author of 6 books. Her website is beverlyekman.com. And you were talking just before the break about the Board of Education was granted a cabinet-level status during the Carter administration, correct?
Yes. Well, back in the Carter administration, the educrats that had been working to make the education system go left since the 50s, and I mean, everyone was sick of war after World War II, and they took advantage of that, and most of America really didn't have any taste for fighting the infiltrators that came along at that time, and they really focused very hard on the education system. But it wasn't really visible until about 1976 when Jimmy Carter gave the teachers union, thanks to their support of him, a present of a cabinet-level agency. And it was, if you go back into the papers that were written before that even, you could see the old Office of Education was heading in a very bad direction. But it just wasn't as obvious as when the cabinet-level agency started asserting itself. And that's when you started seeing all these so-called reform movements. And every one of these reform movements are related to Common Core of Standards, what we now call Common Core of Standards. And it, in turn, is related to the ever-expanding Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965. Everything really hinges on that act and is connected to it. Government itself couldn't function without it. And there is so much hinging on that act, and it is so continually expanding in a leftist direction that now, of course, the it's clear that the whole idea in the first place was to federalize education.
Right, which they have really tried. The elite have been trying to take control of the educational apparatus in this country for over 100 years.
Oh yes.
But with these new acts and the Common Core and the Board of Education and all of things that you've written about, they've pretty well taken it over completely.
Yeah, this is the final push. The Common Core of Standards will be the final phase in the left's education agenda. And I have been going around the country doing presentations on it, the PowerPoint presentations, just showing people the actual copies of legislation, not just legislation, but books that were written from early on. I mean, we don't think of, for instance, data mining as being related to education. But they started this data mining stuff in the last place anybody would ever look for it. They started it in the schools. And I have a journal called Data Mining Journals and Books Using Science and Networks to Uncover Structure of the Educational Research Community. And that is back before even we had thought about data mining as a term. And we know it now, but we certainly didn't know it then. And then things like scrapping excellence from education. We didn't know that a policy paper had already been written in the 1981 by the Office of Education for the a new research arm called the National Institute of Education, and the policy paper was called Measuring the Quality of Education. Well, they effectively coined the term functional literacy to replace the former goal of excellence. The expression stuck. Either one was functionally literate or functionally illiterate, but excellence was booted out the door.
Oh, my goodness. Who wrote this paper?
The two staffers, the top-tier staffers, were Archie LaPointe and Willard Wirtz. And I got hold of the galleys of the paper, actually, before it was published. I got it passed to me. And this was just, you know, incredible. And then I found really shortly after that that a fellow named James P. Shaver, and it's still in the ERIC system, that's the database of the Education Department, the Educational Resource and Information Center. And it's not a database of student stuff. It's a professional database of papers, professional papers. Well, he put a new spin on what most people understand as cognitive learning. He wrote that there was an intellectual component plus an affective or emotional element in every shred of knowledge that passes through a person's awareness. So what he was saying is that you've got to have some feeling or other about information in order to remember it, and those perceptions are rarely neutral. So on that basis, This James Shaver reasoned that it was permissible to include attitudes on societal and controversial issues in both testing and curriculum. So testing got renamed assessment, because an assessment is not a test. Every state assessment or so-called standardized test, the media just say standardized testing. But when you actually read the title of the test your state has, and I don't care what state it is, it'll say assessment somewhere in there, not test. And that's to dodge the legal minefields against calling something a test when it isn't really. It's an attitudinal assessment.
Wow.
Yeah. And at the time, only two lawyers at the Federal Bar Journal saw fit to detail the danger. And their article should have made front page news, but it didn't. And that's how data mining got the foot in the door, for real. And they wrote this, I think, in 1978. I can't remember when they actually wrote that. I have to look it up again. But I've got several statements from the learning labs, the regional labs and centers, those federally funded education laboratories, in about 9 or 10 places around the country. And I just culled that to see if they knew what the difference between an assessment and a test really was, and they sure do. They, one says the assessment is the process of gathering information about children in order to make decisions about their education.
And, wow.
Yeah. And another one says assessment involves multiple steps of collecting a data on a child's development. Another one says an assessment is any systematic procedure for obtaining information from tests and other sources that can be used to draw inferences about characteristics of people, objects, and programs. Has anybody said anything about learning anything in all that?
I don't see it. I'm sorry.
So they're not transmitting knowledge. That's not the main purpose. And then there was a bunch of others, too, that I put up. I just put it up on a PowerPoint and just let people read it for themselves. And I have the link number, URL on the bottom so that they know I didn't write it.
Right.
And then they show what can be done with all this stuff and how it plays out in real time. And that's the next shock. And, of course, now we've got full blast Common Core of Standards that when you really look what's in the Common Core of Standards, you wouldn't be surprised after seeing all this stuff that's been working up through the years that they had full knowledge and intent to do this.
Wow. Well, you mentioned the scrapping of excellence in education, which is absolutely unbelievable, because you would think that when you think of the word education, it means that you're learning, you're growing, you're progressing, your kids are getting everything that they need to know to be able to function in an occupation and whatnot. And yet you're saying that they have scrapped it. Alrighty, we do have a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise, if you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steenblok has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steenblok and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenblok is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Beverly K. Ekman. She is the author of 6 books. Her websites are BeverlyEkman.com and MidnightWhistler.com, which is a publishing outfit. And anyway, you were talking about the Common Core of Standards, and you were talking about the basically the deliberate dumbing down of the students and the teachers discourage critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
And this is
and it's kind
bad.
Of ironic, too, because, you know, they started out by giving us the slogan, critical thinking skills. And that was, you know, back in the day, in the 50s and 60s, nobody ever said that word. They called it logic. They called it rhetoric. They called it a lot of the philosophy. For things that kids used to study in the 30s, 40s, and 50s in high school as a matter of, you know, just a natural thing. But those courses don't even exist in school anymore, not in high school, and only as a major in college. So they've really stripped the heart of thinking out from under. They don't want thinking. What they want is knee-jerk reactions. What they want kids to do is to believe that their gut feeling about something, and usually that's media associated, you know, with whatever commercials and line they've been given, that their gut thinking is the equivalent of real thinking. And I have to cite the American Civil Liberties Union declaration in 2007 that parental rights stop at the schoolhouse door. And that was on behalf of a case they were arguing at the time in Lexington, Massachusetts, over curriculum. And that particular idea, I guess, stuck and went throughout the country like wildfire, and judges have kept that one in force, because if parents try to go to the school just to sit in on their kids' classes, which wasn't unusual in the 50s and 60s and even a little bit in the 70s, just to see what, you know, if their kids were acting up and stuff like that. Now they're called acting out. We used to say just acting up. And they can't do it, or to see what the curriculum's about or how they're handling this particular subject. They're escorted away by police. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I heard that in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. That was the first place I ever heard it done, and that was over 10 years ago. And now it's been done, being done much more often. And what is happening is that they are politicizing education, of course, to a leftist direction, but they're medicalizing schooling, and it's important to understand the difference. They want to make it a psychological matter, a matter of psychology, of mental health or mental illness prevention. That is what they're really trying to do. And anyone that needs proof, all they have to do is read Chris Mooney's book, The Republican Brain. And he doesn't use the word Republican in the context of a political party here. He means conservatives in general, and it includes even those that people that would describe themselves as independents. In the jargon of Mooney and his colleagues, conservatives, and Christian conservatives in particular, are closed-minded, resistant to change, rigid, intolerant, whereas liberal, politically popular fads are labeled as liberating, open, optimistic, and even courageous. And I went down and started looking at all the other people who might agree with him, people that, you know, had performed studies on personalities and who were big names in the psychiatric field, behavioral psychology in particular. And now, that doesn't mean that all psychologists agree with this. This just happens to be a faction of a field that is very questionable at this point in time because of its political stances. But American ideals like self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-discipline, they're portrayed as deranged and disturbed. Individualists are tagged as loners, and we all know what that means, if you're eccentric or a misfit.
Or you might shoot somebody.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, go to your computer, just be typing along, and put the word individualist into a document, or conservative, either one. And then right-click on the word, highlight the word, individualist or conservative, right-click, and see what synonyms pop up. You'll be in for a real surprise. Because even the trusty dictionary and thesaurus is against us at this point in time. And here's a real clincher. Conservatives and constitutionalists are also deemed less in need of change and more conscientious. Now, you would think that being conscientious was a good thing, right? But
yes.
Conscientiousness has somehow earned a bad rap because, of all things, it indicates an appreciation of order and structure in life. That's bad.
Wow. Well, I typed individualist because I always like a challenge, and so I... and it says,
so you
non-conformist...
And up comes all these,
Exactly. Let me tell you some of them. Nonconformist, eccentric, rebel,
right.
Maverick, loner, and those all have negative connotations.
Those all have negative connotations. So this is what we're running into. And the average journalist that's just coming along and, you know, just starting his career in journalism, they accept this. This flies right over their heads. They don't even realize what they're looking at here. Now, a fellow named Robert McCrae, who performed study on personality, he says open people everywhere tend to have more liberal values. Social psychologist Aries Kuglansky, University of Maryland, finds that traditionalists, which include biblical Christians and individualists, are in need of closure. That's a quote.
Whoa!
And there are strong ties between liberalism and openness. Okay?
Wow.
A Canadian University of Manitoba's associate professor, Robert Altemeyer, has developed a right-wing authoritarian scale. I'm not kidding. RWA. Through mental health screening, again drawn from health questionnaires and social studies surveys and standardized assessments, while Altemeyer works to detect individuals harboring conservative mental illnesses. Where are the liberal mental illnesses? Or even atheist mental illnesses? Gee, apparently you can't find any.
Indeed.
I mean, and then, the top one. Gotta hear this one. The University of London published so-called findings, I think it was last year or so, that conservatives have an enlarged fear area in their brain with smaller areas associated with courage and optimism.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, this is all going into teacher education. So it's no joke anymore. Of course they can pull off something like Common Core standards now.
Yes, with all this language and the alteration of the definitions of
the
words.
The alteration of the semantic, I call it semantic deception, but your comment is just as good. That is the reason why we're having so much trouble. And when parents go to meetings, to different types of meetings to try to counter these things, they don't realize that these people have been getting chapter and verse from entities like these people I just cited, and they're highly trained with these professional facilitators. Just to give an example, of the American Planning Association, they're one of several large third party front groups. And most of these guys are 20-somethings recruited from liberal colleges and universities, and they've been vetted for their liberal leftist viewpoints in dormitories and college classrooms. Well, the question for recruiters, the main one, is that whether a potential candidate can perform well in unfamiliar settings to change attitudes and secure consensus where there may be pockets of deep resistance to an idea like, sustainable development, urban sprawl, and all of the claptrap, environmental claptrap now they call it climate change because global warming got a black eye finally, a much deserved black eye. But these people will try to put the community that shows up for this meeting in the groups and then get the group to do the dirty work of fighting against each other. You know, they'll start out sounding like everybody's pal and buddy, and all of a sudden you realize, gee, we're all caught up in the idea that the best way to get through to other people and persuade them is a heart-to-heart, fact-based discussion. But that's only true if people are honestly debating the issue as equals. It's not true if the debate is dishonest. And so they let this moderator or facilitator or whatever we want to call him, provocateur really, control the debate, and it's no longer an honest debate, and pretty soon the ones that are for the right side of the issue are isolated, ridiculed, and finally overwhelmed.
Wow. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back. This is so fascinating.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free, 800-300-1063. buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Beverly K. Ekman. She is the author of 6 books. Her website is beverlyekman.com. The spelling of the last name is E-A-K-M-A-N. And basically, you're talking about psychological warfare. And in the one book that I mentioned earlier in the program, you mention the book by Sun Tzu, The Art of War.
Right.
And then we also know that our government, back at the same time that they created the CIA, created something called the Psychological Strategy Board. Now, can you see the techniques and the tactics that you're talking about used not only in education, but also in the media and in politics? And what I'm saying is, for instance, with Obama, he was a community organizer. He did work in his wife's law firm. Actually, it wasn't his wife then, but as a summer job. But he was a community organizer. Can you see him using those community organizing skills in his current job, his current position?
Oh, yes, definitely. He could not have risen to where he is now without having passed numerous mini tests, shall we say, and gotten a lot of backing. He would have had to go through steps proving that he
had a handle on all the techniques involved in psychological warfare that I describe in the book, and I probably go into most of them that exist. In fact, there's a whole list of them, and I can give them to you in a minute. But the thing is that we never really paid that much attention to psychological warfare in this country as a method. We've paid a lot of attention to, of course, military matters, but we don't really think of, we kind of laugh at the idea of brainwashing or all those kinds of terms, but what it really comes down to is perception management. And before the term that you saw that government uses was perception management, and that's right on the DOD website, Department of Defense. And it says right up front that it's, the idea is to deceive and to make people believe what you want them to believe and to use deception to do it. And, of course, this is what Sun Tzu said in 476 B.C. or whatever it was, way back almost 500 years before Christ, in his little book. And so it was well known, the psychological, that people could be tricked psychologically. And I show people how the reasoning process works. You have to know, it starts out very easy, and when you start the course, you think, okay, this isn't going to be very hard. I can get this. And by the time you get to the intermediate portion, you realize, oops, this is getting harder and harder and harder, and it is. But people used to get this kind of information when they took courses like logic and rhetoric. And, law school students still get some of this because they have to use these kind of techniques on juries, basically, in court. But everybody else is pretty clueless when it comes to having the wool pulled over their eyes in a meeting or some other type of forum. They never think to ask beforehand, who is moderating this meeting? Who is facilitating this meeting? And when they call, they say it just like that to whoever answers the phone and kind of give away what they're trying to find out. And that's not the way you do it. You call and you say, oh, this sounds so fascinating. Could I ask who is paying for this? Who is behind the, who is the...
Sure, who's sponsoring this?
Yeah, who's sponsoring? Who's the sponsor? And that you don't say ask who is moderating, particularly because they'll just give you a name and it could be any, it could be Joe Smith, and I mean, you wouldn't know the difference of who that was. But if they say the name of an organization, maybe it's a particular organization, and it would actually raise your hackles a little bit if you knew who it was, or at least you could look it up. I mean, if they're the Kettering Foundation or some other Carnegie Foundation or something like that, then you've got something you can work with. So that's the kind of thing that people are not doing. And then they get in there and they think sometimes people are chosen beforehand because they're known for not giving good presentations, or they're known as people who will kind of lose it in a meeting, get so mad that they start shouting. And, of course, that ruins you right there if you do that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And they can alienate you and ostracize you. And other members of the group will back away from you, even if they agree with you, because status has become the most important thing to us over here. We're taught from the time we're school kids that we need to be what? Popular.
Yes.
There's the popular group, and then there's the unpopular group. And you need to be popular. So we need to fit in. And people will back away from anybody who is seen as, unquote, unpopular.
And, it's that herd mentality that we all seem to have.
It is. It is. And we've fallen in, and that is sort of like brainwashing, to have been into this kind of mindset so early in life and to believe you really have to think that way.
Right. And, of course, it's beginning earlier and earlier because we have, there's a kindergarten and then there's a
right.
preschool organizations and preschool this and
yeah, early childhood legacy. And of course, this is one thing that I push a lot when I'm talking about Common Core and education issues. And I start showing why government wants children earlier and earlier, and why they want them in the government-approved preschool, not in a homeschool or, you know, just a caretaker down the street or neighborhood, type of program. They are collecting data really early, and it shows in something called the longitudinal studies, and it's put out by the Education Information Management Advisory Consortium. That's a mouthful, but it's EIMAC for short, and it's the Assessment Task Force, and they are headquartered in Arlington, Virginia, and they're come under the auspices of the Council of Chief State School Officers, which most people know nothing about. But they started trying, well, they were a semi-funded, federally funded issue, they organization back in the 70s. But they became fully funded later. But their first thing that they were doing was to try to get state and federal computer systems compatible, which sounds reasonable, but with that compatibility came ease of cross-matching every sort of data. Until now, you literally can do data mining and of every type, and everything is computerized. Everything. Every time you use your smart card to get into a metro station, every time you use it to pay a parking, your toll fee, every time you do anything, your transactions on a credit card, your phone, and of course we know about the phone tapping thing. But
sure, with the NSA.
It's all too easy. And the Council of Chief State School Officers helped make that possible, and they got it going. Of course, if one state were to say, or a local community even, or said, well, we can't afford that. They said, oh, well, I'm sure we can find a way to loan you the money, you know, federal or state funding. And, of course, When you say state funding, you think, oh, well, that would be just the state by itself then. You're not really linked to the Fed. Yes, you are, because there's pass-through money. And sometimes It's very hidden through second and third parties, and it's hard to find. Sometimes those in-person assisters I was talking to you about, or technical assistants, they will be sent out from one of the federal agencies. It could be Department of Justice, could be Department of Education, could be something else, Health and Human Services, if they really want a program to get going and to get moving. They'll send out technical assistants on the federal dime.
Absolutely. All righty, we do have our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour. Thank you so much, Beverly. This is such wonderful information. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.